This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
KSC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Are you guys ready for the Stars and Mavs Super Segment?
As long as Otter played a good game.
He did.
There we go.
Actually, I think you encapsulated all things in the Jake Ottinger experience. And I'm going to go ahead and knock this out. Hey, the Mavericks played, and it was on the road. So guess what? They lost. They lost to the Hawks 124-112. The Mavericks are now 7-25 on the road. 7-25 on the road. But again, as we frequently say, depending on your worldview, you are now only one loss back of the Pelican, or ahead, I don't know how you want to say that, of the Pelicans and Jazz to potentially put you in position to have the fifth worst record in the NBA and better lottery odds.
I don't love like this feeling of being like, I'm rooting for misery.
It does suck. I'm with you on that.
But this is the last year it has to be like this, right?
Agreed.
Because you guys, you and Mike convinced me, like, it took a long time for me to buy in on, okay, let's tank for something. And also, it took me a long time because we never won at tanking. Like, we were all...
Sure.
Every time we had the best ones, it was like, just joking.
Sure.
So it took me a long time to be like, but now that you've gotten Cooper Flagg, I'm like, okay, awesome. And I see the benefit of adding another future star player to this team and then taking the financial, because the Mavericks did a pretty good job this season in moving some money around so that they can have some financial benefit for the future here.
Yeah.
So that's a positive thing. But after this year, our expectations need to change.
For sure.
Like that, yeah. That's something I want.
100%. I'm with you on that.
And our expectations need to change to... How long before we need to be going playoffs no matter what?
Yeah, I think...
And then we need to be top four, need to be number one.
I think it will depend a little bit with what you do with Kyrie. That will influence a lot of those. Because if Kyrie comes back and you get like a top five pick, then I absolutely think you should go into next year being like, we should be able to make the playoffs. Now, if you were to trade off Kyrie, then that might slow the process. And you're like, hey, let's get to 500, and then next year... Unstoppable. So I realize it's not a fun process, but right now you want to make sure you're in a position to get, I would assume, one of the following guys: Darren Peterson, AJ DeBonta, Cameron Boozer, Caleb Wilson, Kingston Flemings, Michael Brown, Keaton Wagler, Darius Acuff. Those are eight that, like, I don't know if those are absolutely the best eight players in the draft, but I think they would all be pretty damn high on my board with the first three being locked in. I know some people want to jump in on Nate Ament, has been talked about making his way to the Mavericks, but you want to find yourself in a position where the better draft pick is possible because it's a better asset.
Okay.
Whether you want to trade down a little bit because you've really fallen in love with Acuff and you think you can get him later or whatever, the more you lose, because you're not good anyway and you're not going to make the playoffs anyway, might as well lean all the way in, especially since, I mean, Cooper Flagg has looked a little wonky. He was not good last night, especially from a shooting perspective, and just get the better player. That's what I'm all about.
Okay.
Now, to the team that is in the mix and has the potential to do something big, big time this year. Go ahead and give me cut number one. Let's talk about those Dallas Stars.
In. Dancing. Got the shot stop. Score! Oscar Beck rushing to the net front, but what a play by Colin Blackwell. And the game is tied at one.
So you would get the tie. Jamie Benn then would go on to score what ended up being the game winner. And the Stars get back into the two-point category. They defeat Vegas. And there's a lot to break down from this. But I want to tell you one outside-the-game thing really quick, if that is okay.
I dare you.
Gullitson gave an update on Mikko Rantanen yesterday. He said he skated for the first time. So we're hoping. It's the 10th day. So yesterday was the 10th day. Today would be the 11th day, and somewhere in a 2 week range to 2.5 week range, maybe we could have him back. So you're getting closer, and it does sound like maybe it could be on the more optimistic end of what we thought the injury to Mikko might be in terms of how much time he actually misses.
Okay.
So that's positive.
Oh, absolutely. That's positive, dude.
Another positive. Mitch Marner got a big fat nothing yesterday for Vegas. He has been somebody who has consistently been troublesome for the Stars. In 17 games prior to last night against the Stars, he had 23 points, and he had gotten at least 1 point in 6 straight games against the Stars. Nothing last night, because I thought Ottinger, especially 5, 6, 7 minutes into the second period, from then on, I thought he was just tremendous. Tremendous.
Which I asked for yesterday. Isn't
yes.
that interesting?
Yes, you did.
I said, hey, let's tighten things up here. Let's just, you know, get these screws just a little bit tighter. And he's like, I got you, boys.
You know, it's really funny that you say that, because Gullitson, after the game, talked about how tight it was out there. I think he meant from an overall play perspective, but I just like the exact verbiage right there. And then he said, you know, if you look at the back half of the game, Gullitson said, I really thought they had a push on us and Otter kept us in it. Because, I mean, there were times where you could absolutely look at that game and be like, oof, it does not feel like we're the better team. But that, just for a stretch there, and that's the way hockey goes, right? Because I defy people to look at the game against Colorado and think for most of the game, oh, I mean, clearly the Stars are the better team. I defy people not to have that takeaway, but I could see how you'd feel the opposite way. And all that matters is, did you win or not?
Yeah.
And because of Otter, you did.
That's why it's called a team sport.
For sure.
You know, that's the thing is, just like if pitching's going to do their job, hitting has to do their job. You know, if something's not working that night, if one of them can give us a chance, we'll try and scrape everything else together with everything else we have. But that was what, you know, that's what happened last night, is when, if Otter's going to give you a chance, then you figure out how to win, how to put 2 points on the board for you.
Yes.
And Kevin, I think, you know, we were discussing the other day death taxes and Dirk. And right now, I do believe it's death taxes and Stars power play. Like, that feels like one of those things that you talk about, our 5-on-5 consistency, yeah, and where that's going right now. But in playoffs, if you get to a point where they fear putting a penalty on you. We saw this happen to the Stars last year, didn't we? Because they were like, we won't. If you put a power play on the Stars, they're going to score on you. And so that got to a point last year where the Stars were afraid to do it against Edmonton, because they knew,
yes,
if we do this, they're going to put a goal on us.
And how much did that change
the whole series?
I know the Stars maybe aren't always, or weren't last year, the most physical team, but then do you back off some of that level of physicality? So that dings you. Or if you stay up to your level of physicality, you almost feel defeated once that whistle gets blown. We're going to have a goal.
This Stars, when Rantanen's back and fingers crossed on Rope, you know, and when all these pieces are together in the playoffs, Kevin, I currently believe they have a better position overall team than they had last year because of the physical play that they can play, and because you add in that power play. Now, you can't rely on the power play.
Sure, but you shouldn't be out there saying, I hope we get a whistle.
Yeah, the Stars have seemingly corrected that in their 5-on-5. They are a more whole team right now, and they're going to be a force to deal with in the playoffs.
I think you're going to like this with Jake Ottinger. He said, I think a lot of what I did tonight is just playing patient, being back, trusting my reads, and trusting the guys around me. I know you said tighten up. Here's the verbiage that Ottinger used. I feel like when I'm patient and reading the game well, then I'm a pretty good goalie. So what I like about that is it feels like Ottinger stepping out and being like, I did a better job with this tonight, and that's something I need to focus more on because that's when I thrive. And that's what you want in any player, right? The person who not only they're good, but they can acknowledge the faults that they have or see the ways that they can get better, right? Isn't that what we all aspire to as humans?
Yeah, we got to figure out the fault in our stars, Kevin.
I've seen that movie. I didn't read the book. I'm sorry.
Why not?
I haven't read a lot of non-wrestler or Star Wars books.
877-881-1053. What books are you liking?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
And we're going to bounce back and forth. It is the super segment, after all. The 214, I want to make sure there's no misunderstanding about this. We don't have our draft picks, speaking of the Mavs, so we can't tank. They'll try their best to win with Kyrie and Flag and the 2026 draft picks. So I just want to kind of correct the line of thinking right there. We were specifically just talking about this season. So we're just talking about this season, and you pick up whoever, whether it's A.J. DeBonsa or Darius Acuff and anybody in between. What my thought was is if Kyrie is going to stay a part of this team, then like we said, absolutely, you make a run for it. And let's just say it's DeBonsa. So you got DeBonsa, Flag, and Kyrie Irving. Great. Let's go. Let's see what that looks like. Or if you're in a situation where maybe Kyrie thinks it, maybe the team thinks it is like, hey, we just need to cede the control and this needs to be Cooper Flagg's team, which is something that Rolando Blackman said a couple months ago. Kyrie's out, Kyrie's in. This needs to be Cooper Flagg's team. Or maybe Kyrie wants to go somewhere else, or maybe he wants to be on part of a more immediate winner. If
I think Kyrie proved with Luka that he can be the leader, but also have it be somebody else's.
Sure.
Team.
And I mean, that I would be totally fine with that. If he's like the leader voice, but he's like, I know how to defer when it comes to the play. I totally get that. But if that were the case, then you would get some draft picks back in your favor, one would imagine. And then I would wonder if the project would go on another year.
He's a consigliere.
Oh, you know, you got been watching Tony. Some Godfather,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, you got Tony Soprano, and then you got his consigliere, and it's Silvio, and he's the one that gives good advice.
Is it not consigliere?
Okay, sure.
I know I'm asking.
I don't know.
Okay.
Ask the people who say the words. That's us. Crap.
I don't.
We're the people who say the words.
Yeah.
We're supposed to know. If you're Italian, text in. Or if you're in the mafia, don't text in. You know how to get to us.
Let me ask you a question. Assuming we know each other continually for a long time. Can I come to you on the day of Lucy's wedding and ask for a favor? Because that's the conceit of the Godfather right there. The day of his daughter's wedding, maybe you got a shot at your favor. Will you be handing out favors that day?
You absolutely can come to me. You absolutely can.
I love it. I love it.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the debt of that favor.
All right. You know, that's the whole thing. Yeah, I guess if your lone takeaway from The Godfather was, hey, you get a favor that day.
You'll get a free favor.
You probably
got a free
missed
favor.
the bigger picture. And someday he's going to come around,
yeah. And
you better be ready to go.
Now, or see a horse head in your bed.
That's true. Man, that guy deserved it. He was an ass. Actually, that horse didn't deserve it.
True.
But because, yeah, that horse didn't do anything wrong. It's unfortunate that the horse had to die for the message to be sent. But that guy was an ass, and I'm glad that he got taken down. I just wish maybe he didn't have to kill a horse for it. Do you care at all about, as we bounce back to the Stars, do you care at all about winning the Central? Because I've been more, when you look at C2, C3, I've been more about like, hey, let's get C2, let's have home ice against overwhelmingly likely Minnesota. Do you care about winning the Central Division, which would almost certainly give you the President's Cup trophy?
I will care about it. I always like the idea of give me a goal that I can go accomplish.
Okay.
I hate chasing something from like this angle right now. They're behind and they're having to chase it. I don't want to wear yourself out trying to get that one because that's not ultimately what I want.
Yeah.
So winning against Edmonton tomorrow night would be awesome. But I have a longer plan here. So no, Kevin, I don't, I guess, at this point. And also the history of it and everything.
Exactly.
But I'd care less about the curse and more about where my team is physically to finish the season.
I'm with you, but I do want to make this admission. I'm a little spooked by winning the Presidents. I that does make me a little bit nervous. So what I would love, to your point, Corey, in the next 18 games, your special teams continue to be awesome. Your 5-on-5 continues to be at the level that we've been dying for all season, and you get healthy and finish 1 point behind Colorado.
Yeah.
I will accept all of that, and I'll be like, I'll see you in the second round, Colorado, where the odds usually are against you.
Yeah, and that kind of goes to the same conversation regarding what we had with Skip. I don't want Wyatt Johnston to be at the end of the season going, how many power play goals do I need in order to do this?
Yeah.
And Robertson to be like, hey, how many of assists or goals do I need to do this? I just want them to go out there and play because it's fun.
Sure.
Go out there, play because it's fun. You're awesome at it. You're a badass.
It does feel like they're having fun.
They
out
look
there.
Like they're having a really good time. And just go be that. And finish this season and then say, all right, now it's time to really prepare for the bigger moments. And that is the playoffs, which everybody wants to be there. You're going to be there.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
I was trying to do the more like the rat from Zootopia.
Okay.
Because that's the scene I remember is, and he's like, all right, I wasn't trying to
fair
do Robert
to say
Duvall.
You've seen Zootopia many more times than you have The Godfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Zootopia.
That's a great movie.
I love The Godfather too, but Zootopia's made it around lately.
Which movie's better?
Oh, I'll defer to the critics
Alex
on
time.
This one.
Yeah. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus this NFL fan did not listen to Bobby Belt. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Just a reminder to everybody, on Friday, we'll be live at the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard at the Marriott. Working on that pronunciation. And tomorrow, I do believe it will be the return of fan favorite Kate to the KNC Masterpiece. But right now...
Is she?
Oh, man.
I'm just asking...
Feels like a lot of people enjoyed her and did not like me calling her out on the bubblegum thing. Just the gum thing. Now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. He might
because,
not be okay, Alec.
Yeah, you might miss the death of Corey Majors. It's time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call pride of Mansfield, Texas. Thank you for the effort, Corey. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day.
No, I got a question of the day for you, Alec.
No, I'm scared.
Is it about Gina Carano?
Oh, it's not. I mean, it can be. It's not. What do you think about this concept? Because the guy we do the yeah, that's a shout out to LA Knight. Uh-huh. I know some people at one point had thought maybe LA Knight would answer the challenge of Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. There are other people who are hoping and praying, of course, that is Obafemi. Now we're getting news that the WWE is trying really, really hard to get Steve Austin to show up to Monday Night Raw on Monday because it will be 316. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, wild speculation that the hell with it. Let's just go ahead and do Stone Cold Steve Austin against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Could you see any universe in which that would happen?
I better not. I don't want to see that. I do not want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin against Brock Lesnar in 2026. In the Lord's
year. He might really hurt him.
Of 2026. Yes, you saw what happened whenever they broke the streak. Undertaker was, you know, on his last legs of his career, and he had multiple injuries in that match. Brock Lesnar is a stiff worker. I'm not putting Steve Austin in the ring with him in 2026. I don't want to see that. But give me Obafemi.
Obafemi, you want to see that, right?
Give me Obafemi, because right. That is how you elevate people and entertain people at the same time.
Yeah, back to your regular question of the day.
So this is a rare situation. There's a lot going on today to the point where I'm torn. So I'm going to let you guys pick.
Like Natalie and Bruglia.
That's right.
Nothing's right, I'm torn.
That was beautiful. I'm going to let you guys pick which day the question of the day will be centered around. So please get along here and make this decision easy. Today is National Promposal Day. So do you want a prom-themed question?
Yeah.
Or it's National COVID-19 Day, the anniversary.
No, because we just celebrated the anniversary of Rudy Gobert coughing and tough, touching everything.
That's right.
I vote for promposal. Promposal wasn't a thing when I was in high school.
Okay. Majors, are you on the same boat that you want a prom-themed question of the day?
You know what? I think my son's going to prom this year.
Ooh.
I also may have promised him a limo, so I have some work to
what?
Do.
What?
Oh. Alba limos. They're the best.
Alba?
Yeah.
I need to talk
to
them.
I'll send you a contact.
Okay. But yeah, can I go ahead and give you a prom story?
Ooh, that is going to be the question of the day, actually, so I'll just lay it out there for you. 877-881-1053, what is your best prom story?
I have a couple here.
Ooh. Oh, I've got a fun one.
One of them is how I asked Adrian to prom. Union Station is where we had our prom. On March 23rd, because I believe our prom was on April 23rd.
Okay.
Asked her 1 month before prom. She was my belle. We didn't talk. We didn't talk to each other in high school.
Is that unusual for a football player and belle? Or a player and a belle?
I was afraid to talk to her, honestly, because I was afraid I was going to mess it up.
Okay.
So, but what I did, her friend, Adrian, was in class with me, and I said, hey, give me some lowdown on this girl, because I like her. Like, I really like this girl. Give me some information.
Did you tell her you liked her?
It was like, I would like to make an impression.
Okay.
So she told me she liked frogs. And I was like, I have no clue what to do with this, but I'll figure it out. So I got we had block scheduling at the time. We had four classes on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I got four frogs, little stuffed animal frogs.
Oh, I thought you made real ones.
And I wrote I had my mom write a note. And on each one, it said in four different ones, if beauty were time, you'd be eternity. I was wondering if you'd go to prom with me. So in each class, she got a new one.
I like it because it rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simple.
I did not put my name on the last frog. So she left school not having a clue who this was from. Like, she just knew some random ass dude out there wanted to go to prom with her.
Pause. Alec, let me ask you a strategy question.
Yes.
Do you think there's any chance that Corey did this intentionally just to see how it was received? Because if it wasn't received well, he could pivot and be like, I don't know about that frog dude. But if it was, he's like, that was me.
She was afraid it was somebody else.
Ooh.
Somebody who she didn't think was good looking.
She was ecstatic when she found out it was me.
That's nice.
But I watched her from baseball practice. I watched her go to her car and drive off, and I was like, well, crap. I thought she'd come out here and say yes. Eventually, she called me and was like, yeah, hey, by the way, I had to track your number down. I didn't know who it was. I was like, son of a bee. That's on me. My bad. That night at prom at Union Station, there's a long hallway that goes in a slant up to get to where you need to go. On the way out, my buddy Travis and I look at it and go, you think what I'm thinking? So we both laid down and rolled down the hill, at which point he stopped and I kept going and broke his nose.
Oh, no.
That is my problem story. He's still right there with me to this day. So we're still friends, even though I broke his nose and he bled all over my mom's car.
That's not cool.
Oh, dear.
And now, and by the way, many years later, I ask Adrian to marry me at Union Station. On March 23rd.
That's nice.
How many frogs did you have?
Zero. I had a ring. And I was like, it's shaped like a frog, though.
What?
Can you imagine?
A little bit.
A frog-shaped diamond?
Actually, I was just thinking about that. Mine is way lower stakes than this. Is my best friend in high school, Scott. He found, we did a casino night, and there was all kind of prizes you could win with, like, your chips and everything. He found a crooked blackjack dealer who would just keep hitting, regardless of what his number was. He was like, hit, hit, hit. And so he stayed at that table, and he won a TV with all of his tickets because he had, like, a crazy amount of tickets or chips or whatever.
What?
It was really fun. Because the guy was like, oh, I got 20. I'll take a hit. Oh, I busted.
Thank you.
I like it.
Shut up. You shut up. You can't use that.
Dude,
I think you can.
I just found the coolest engagement ring where it's like it's a simple diamond right in the middle of the ring, but next to the part that holds the diamond and locks it in place, there's a tiny little frog that's like walking up to it. That is so cool.
I think you should send
this summer. I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Corey. That could be an amazing gift at some point.
Yes, that is awesome. It's off of Etsy, too, so it's like a handmade. It's somebody actually makes this. It's pretty cool. But anyways, the question of the day for National Promposal Day, your best prom stories.
Did you have to do a promposal then? You're a young person.
So my story actually goes into the promposal. So I had my eyes, kind of like Corey, I had my eyes set on one person, but I was too scared to mess it up. It was one of the cheerleaders. I think she was the captain senior year.
Oh,
so, like, big deal. Hell. And I was like, the cross-country runner is going to get a hold of that one, right? Yeah, totally. Not a football player. Not anything. So I was too scared. So I was like, I have to make this absolutely perfect.
Yep.
So I was coming up with this creative idea and everything, and I had a plan. Okay, Friday after class, I'm going to ask the question outside in the parking lot, and it's going to be amazing, right? The day before, one of my good friends to this day asks her because they were good friends.
Oh, no.
They were not romantically like involved or attracted to each other. They just thought neither of us have anybody to go with. So let's just go with each other as friends. So I was bummed and I ended up going by myself pretty much. And I ended the night taking his date, dancing with her, and then we ended up getting together and being together for like a year. So I ended up stealing somebody else's date, theoretically. To this day, he is one of my good friends. We speak every day. But he understood. They barely spoke at prom or anything. They didn't even hang out with each other. It was just a formality, like, hey, someone's got to ask me kind of thing. I was one day late. But the Red Sea parted during the slow dance. She was in the corner. I was in the opposite corner. We met up. And then the rest was history. So, yeah, I technically stole my friend's date because I was too scared to ask.
Wow. Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
An accident.
And ours was pretty
lame.
That
makes you feel a little better. Right? Mm-hmm.
I can't lie. Ours was pretty lame. It was the year before COVID, so I actually had a real prom, which was nice in 2019. But ours was pretty simple. There wasn't a whole lot going on. The most fun part, honestly, I took my dad's Mercedes to try to impress everybody, right? A massive, severe thunderstorm right as prom ended. Most terrifying drive home of my life, because my dad had owned that car for maybe 2 months. So it was still in perfect, pristine condition. Everything was perfect. I could not see anything. It was like 11 p.m. at night. It was raining sideways. I could not see anything. And it was like a 25-minute drive back home. The scariest drive home of my life.
Oh, man.
And I was sad because I got Whataburger afterwards. And when I was walking back to the car with my bag, it got rained on and all the food fell out.
You're kidding me.
I'm so serious. It was just like an awful sitcom. Like, oh, how could this be any crazier? You know, but
did you eat the food anyway and kind of pick it up?
Oh, absolutely not.
Why didn't you go through the drive-thru?
Because the drive-thru line was crazy. Because everybody had left from prom.
Oh,
so
makes
everybody
sense.
Had the same idea. And I saw, oh, it's raining. Nobody wants to go inside. I'll be the one person that does. So I waited like 5 minutes for my food. I'm like, ha-ha, suckers. Nope. Didn't even make it to the car. All the food just fell out everywhere because the bag got wet.
Aw.
There are a lot of people texting in their prom moments. And some had some tough ones, too.
I was going to say, do you get the sense they're mostly good? Kind of 50-50?
I mean, this one, cop had his gun drawn.
No! Like
that's a tough one right there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, from the 940, they got arrested on prom night, racing from prom to the after party, and got pulled over going 127 in a 50.
Oh, my. Yeah, you... did you not go to jail?
He also said, what a dumbass kid I was. So
yeah.
He's
oh, no, we
he's
all,
learned
we
from
all,
his
sure.
moments in
yeah.
time.
No, we've all that. Made just the worst decisions when we were younger.
Yes, from the 972, Alec was Napoleon Dynamite. Alec Uno reversed his buddy's date. I like to think that as well. And the guys, real quick, since we're up against it, this Ravens fan apparently did not learn from the mistakes of one Bobby Belt.
Oh.
So.
Why not?
On March 4th, Hamilton_DPOY, which you can guess that means Hamilton Defensive Player of the Year.
Let's hope.
A hardcore Ravens fan said, if the Ravens happen to trade for Max Crosby, I will completely shave my head. And he was a man of his word. He quote tweeted this on March 10th, yesterday, with a selfie of him with a freshly shaven head. And said, welcome to Baltimore, and tagged Max Crosby. When just hours later, the Raiders put out the statement that the trade was off, to which he quote tweeted in all caps, are you kidding me? So he now has a bald head for a trade that is no longer happening.
That is a tough break for that fellow.
Which also brings to mind, why say something? Why make a bet
when you win
when
nothing?
You
out
could
of
win
it.
Nothing.
Agreed. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some gridiron gravy where we have the specific numbers. What would it look like if the Cowboys did trade Osa next, right here on The Fan?
Chuck it down and throw! Williams gets crushed by Alante Taylor.
KNC masterpiece. Back here on 105 through the Fan right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and lip it, Kevin, from the 806. Does it say something that zero Cowboys free agents have been signed by a different team? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It says you had one of the worst a historically bad defense last year.
Right.
And you are doing everything you can to correct that. And bringing those guys back is probably not the best idea, as they were a reason that you were a historically bad defense last year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
So, yes.
Now, there's been a few others that I know that we have missed out on. Wanted to run through a few here that I know folks on social media were making waves about, and they were like, hey, why didn't the Cowboys go do this person, go get this person, go do that deal? The Bears lost Nashawn Wright to the Jets 1 year, $5.5 million max. The Titans They signed Alante Taylor to a 3-year, $60 million deal with $42 million guaranteed. What did y'all think of the player? Because I know that's somebody that we've talked about with Bobby before. Or was this always going to be too expensive for the Cowboys?
Seemed to be a good fit for them, my understanding. I have no clue where the Cowboys are in the cornerback market right now. That's the thing, because like Tariq Woolen, we kind of got the idea that they were out on him altogether.
Right.
Like they were looking at it, but not looking at it.
Though he also 1 year, $15 million with the Eagles.
Yeah, and do you feel like you might be able to beat him with George Pickens? Maybe.
Yeah.
But I have no clue where they are in the market, and here's why. Your defensive coordinator is the guru when it comes to secondary. So is he saying, no, we're good. I'll figure out what I have. Or is he saying, let's find some other guys that, you know, in the draft or something like that, that I can really grow. I have no clue where he is with this. But again, this comes to I'll trust Christian Parker until he gives me a reason not to.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can appreciate that fact. All right.
But I think a lot of people will be in the boat of another sign of proof that Jerry hasn't changed.
Sure.
And he's not going to pay any of these cornerbacks or any of these players at the top of the food chain.
Yeah. The Steelers agreed to a 1-year contract extension with Cam Hayward for a total value of $32.25 million. That includes a $16.25 million fully guaranteed. This is Hayward's fifth NFL contract. Now, I choose to believe that the NFL saw the success, or they've seen the success of Peace-a-thon, and that's why they're doing this. They're exploring adding a game on Thanksgiving Eve. Now, we've talked about it for the longest time. On Thanksgiving, you open with the Lions, then you have the Cowboys, and then they've had a rotating night game for Thanksgiving night, and that has been very successful. So now they are looking to potentially, as soon as this year, add a Thanksgiving Eve game. I assume it would start at about 7 o'clock to coincide with when Peace-a-thon normally ends. I don't know if that's exactly their plan. We're still working out those details. What do you think about the idea?
We're still working out those details.
It could be true.
Like, there's no way we could defeat that time.
Yeah,
so
that could be true. What do you think about the concept of the Thanksgiving Eve game?
I love it.
Okay.
Because, Kevin, guess what that gives me? Wednesday night football.
And, Corey, I checked the numbers, and I do believe in a span of 9 days, that would give you NFL games on 7 of them. I know we're not back.
100% is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet, but this does represent a significant step in the direction that I know you've always been wanting.
Yeah, Tuesday night football was one of my favorite moments. Wednesday night football, even better. It gets me to Thursday night football that much faster. Kevin, obviously, if the NFL wanted to go to Thursday or Wednesday afternoon Eve, we'd have to consider how much they would pay us to move Peace-a-thon. Because if they're going to make a hefty donation, then we can only do our part here.
I have always been waiting for a corporation to make a hefty donation to Peace-a-thon.
Who wants to make a hefty donation to Peace-a-thon? And we'll move it for you if that's what you want.
Shoot, if it's hefty enough, we'll do it at your freaking house, man.
Yes, absolutely, I approve this. They want to maximize that time.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this, though. Do more people need off Wednesday now? Because now you got to prepare early in the day for Wednesday night's dinner.
Yeah. See, I've always thought Wednesday should be a half day. Now, I realize this is about to be an old man rant here. I realize that now kids get the whole week off. But when I was a kid, you got the half day on Wednesday, and we were happy for it. So help the adults out.
Yeah.
Make that a half day so everyone can make their way out to come see Peace-a-thon.
I was shocked whenever I saw my kids had a whole week off.
I know.
What the hell is happening here from the 469? We don't call it Thanksgiving Eve in DFW. We call it Peace-a-thon Day.
Thank you. Freaking love that.
All right, Tolos.
Let's talk about Osa. Now, there's been continued discussion that, You know, it depends on who you hear from. Either the Cowboys are open to trading Osa, or perhaps the Cowboys are the ones who put him on the trading block. I'd be more inclined to think that they're listening if people have the offer. What is the offer that you would need for Osa? And let me present you with this salary cap information. I want to thank Spotrac for helping me out with some of this. If you traded Osa, you would take a dead cap hit of $16 million. Now, that sounds really bad, right? Here's the way I can kind of balance it out for you. His cap hit this year was supposed to be $20.75 million, all right? So Osa goes away, and you theoretically save $4.75 million on the cap, and you take the entire cap hit right now. So you would not carry over cap hits into 2027 and beyond, because that would, they haven't flipped the switches in his contract. And so you would take the hit for the entire signing bonus right then and right there. Does that interest you? And what would that compensation need to look like?
Max Crosby straight up.
I mean, sure.
Go ahead and make that deal.
I would also do that. Assuming you can't get that.
I heard some people say a fourth.
I believe that is what Mr. Medford thinks.
I think that's too high a price for other teams. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I would love to get a fourth. It would be awesome to add that compensation to it. I would feel more like you'd get a fifth. I think that's about it, though.
Does this change your opinion at all? It might not. The new team that acquires Osa will pay $16.75 million guaranteed this season. And then you're on the hook the next 2 years for nothing, because while his salaries would be 20.5 both years, there's no more guaranteed money. So the only guaranteed money you'd be acquiring with Osa is $16.75 million. Does that make a difference, or you're still like, that's still a lot of money?
Look, man, if they want that player that bad, my question is, how many people out there want him that bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
The deal that he signed with this team, we thought was pretty spectacular and reasonable.
Safe to assume now that it looks like a bad deal.
He plays really hard.
I agree. But if you're willing to trade him off 1 year after you sign him for a fourth or a fifth.
Because you have a plentiful amount of those guys, and you're also asking how he fits into this new defensive system. Yeah, it kind of looks like, but when you made the deal with him, it was with the understanding that you were hoping he would be a defensive leader for the team.
Right.
And then you were also hoping that he would be in the Eberflus defense for eternity of his contract. And now it's a different world.
Would you do it for a fifth? You're the Cowboys. Would you do it for a fifth?
Yeah, I want a fourth.
Okay.
I would probably do it for a fifth and maybe another compensation if I could get one.
Okay.
Of some sort.
All right.
But yeah.
Like conditional seven or
yeah,
six.
Yeah, best deal. Because I would like to be able to manipulate, like you got 5/5 at that or 4/5 at that point.
Right.
Can I get a fourth out of that?
Yeah.
You know, work something
out. I
could
do that. Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, number one is Max Crosby straight up, if you can make that happen.
I would also do that. And I saw this from Bobby. He sent it to all of us. The win improvement of the last 10 teams that spent the most in free agency. Because, you know, especially in baseball, people say, it doesn't matter if you win the offseason. Over the last decade, the team that has spent the most in free agency has improved by an average of 5.2 wins. And they've never improved less than 3 wins. So, man, you talk about winning the offseason, how that's not the end-all, be-all. It has really moved the needle in the NFL.
Oh, so adding better players?
I know. What a novel concept. But 5.2 wins, that's a big freaking improvement. And never less than 3.
Cowboys would be an 11-win team, 12-win team,
man,
13-win team.
Can you imagine the shock if the Cowboys spent the most in free agency?
All they have to do.
They could still make it happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go get Daniel Jones. You know?
Well, I mean, that deal's done.
All right.
I'm so sorry to tell you
that. Have they spent more already than they have in the past, like, 10 years?
It does feel that way. And also, you know, they've given out more money per player.
For them, that's busting the budget, isn't it?
I guess. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do some NFL free agency overreaction reality right here on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.